Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 16th of May. On Tuesday of this week, Angelina Jolie revealed in a New York Times op-ed piece that she carries a cancer-causing mutation, and because of that, she has had a double mastectomy. This news has been discussed all over the country and probably all over the world because, as one doctor said, a medical historian and the author of The Breast Cancer Wars, she's the biggest name of all. And I think given her prominence and her visibility, not only as a famous person, but also as a beautiful actress, it's going to carry a lot of weight for women. We will be speaking this hour about all of the questions that come to mind as a result of her disclosure, and there are many of them. She said that she carried this cancer-causing mutation. How many people have these kinds of mutations? When should women be tested for the breast cancer gene? And what are the treatment options? Do health insurance plans cover this? Should they cover this? What about women who live in poor countries all over the world? Do they have access to the same kind of medical care that Angelina Jolie has? The answer, of course, obviously, is probably not. We'll be speaking with a breast surgeon and later with a genetic counselor, and we'll be welcoming your many phone calls. If you would like to join our conversation, our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email, if you'd like to reach us that way, is talk@WPR.org. And you are always ever so welcome to leave your messages on our Facebook page. And that is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Our first guest is joining us by phone from Chicago, where she's presenting at a conference of breast surgeons. Dr. Lee Wilkie, breast surgeon and director of the University of Wisconsin Breast Center. Dr. Lee Wilkie, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Kitty.
The amount of conversation that has taken place as a result of this is really phenomenal. Is it good conversation? Will it, on the positive side, influence some women with strong family histories of breast cancer to get tests?
I think this has been a good conversation because I think Angelina Jolie presented her situation very accurately, in that there are certain individuals who are at high risk for the development of breast cancer. And by identifying those individuals, we can either screen them better and or offer them prophylactic surgery if that's their interest.
And do you find in the women and the patients that you see, there are many women who come for this kind of double mastectomy surgery because of the genetic tests, because of the very, very strong family history?
Yes, we do. It is not an infrequent occurrence, especially at the larger academic and large cancer centers, where we see individuals with the BRCA1 and 2 mutations. These individuals may have known about it for years or may have just learned about it, and we assist them in understanding what's their actual lifetime risk of breast cancer and what are their options for either screening or surgery.
Mm-hmm. She had this surgery done at the age of 37. Is that an important number to know?
It is not necessarily an exact age or number that you need to know. There are variations in these mutations. We don't know exactly when someone will develop breast cancer. We know that through NCCN guidelines, the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, that some individuals with this mutation, we start screening them at age 25.
Mm-hmm.
But a woman may not know or learn that she has the mutation until later in life, at which point we initiate that screening process and or discussions of surgery.
So if you were really paying very careful attention to this, you would start screening at age 25, and a doctor like you would just watch this very carefully before you perform surgery?
Yes. The indications for screening are one of these mutations, and the screening involves using a fancier x-ray, for lack of a better word, fancier x-ray of the breast called an MRI of the breast. And it's not indicated for everyone, but for those with these mutations, it is indicated because it's a good way to find and detect breast cancer earlier, though we also use mammograms because they work in conjunction to help us screen these individuals.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Wilkie, what were Angelina Jolie's options?
Certainly, with I don't know her entire history and just what she's written in her op-ed, in that she would have had the option of screening every 6 months with exams and imaging or x-rays, and then at any point that she was interested in moving forward with surgery, certainly surgery was an option.
Mm-hmm.
And reconstruction in this day and age has improved dramatically, such that we can offer some very good options for breast reconstruction.
She said, and I wonder what the connection here is here, that she had a very strong genetic risk of both breast cancer and also ovarian cancer. Why is that?
Kitty, that's a great question. The BRCA1 and 2 mutations put you at risk for both breast and ovarian cancer. And actually, removing the ovaries lowers the risk of both ovarian and breast cancer. And so in these individuals with the BRCA1 mutation, we encourage thinking about removing the ovaries when a woman reaches age 40, because detecting ovarian cancer is sometimes more difficult than detecting breast cancer.
Mm. She seemed to indicate that perhaps she will have both surgeries done, but she did the breast cancer surgery first because it's more elaborate?
It involves reconstruction, yes. And reconstruction can take several operations and may take more time. And an ovarian removal of the ovaries does not involve, obviously, a reconstructive surgery and is potentially not as big a surgery as the breast surgery.
Mm-hmm. But if you had the ovarian surgery, you wouldn't be assured that you would not develop breast cancer?
Correct. That's a very good point. But you do lower your risk in that group of individuals that carry this mutation. When they remove their ovaries, we recognize and have learned through both historical following of patients and over time that they lower their risk of developing breast cancer, but certainly not to the average population risk.
Some of the press reports, and you will know this, it seemed to me to be a little bit hard to believe because this is such major surgery, but some doctors have said that they're worried that her disclosure could prompt other women to have mastectomies and they're not really medically necessary.
You know, that is a very valid concern from those of us in the medical community, because in the last few years, we have seen an increase in the use of mastectomy for breast cancer, when we know that breast conservation can offer similar survival to those women to a mastectomy. In this case, a mastectomy is the only way to assure yourself with that mutation that you will lower your risk of developing breast cancer. You need to remove the whole breast and not just part of it. However, for women with breast cancer, it is not necessarily a better choice in some cases, though in some cases it is. But for women at high risk for the development of breast cancer who test positive for this mutation, it is an important option.
Mm-hmm. And how much do you lower your risk?
We actually don't get to 0%. We would love to offer that, but because of human anatomy, for both the breast and the ovaries, we leave them with somewhere in the 3-10% range risk of developing future malignancy.
Is that a pretty good risk?
Well, to lower from the 80% range to the 3-10% range certainly puts you in the average population or a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm. We're going to welcome phone calls for you. I know you have to present at a conference, and we're going to be talking with a geneticist as well this hour. Here's how you can reach our conversation. 800-486-8655 is our number. Our first guest is Dr. Lee Wilkie, breast surgeon and director of the University of Wisconsin Health Breast Center. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page, if you would like to use that, is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We start with Lindsay in Madison. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
Hi, Lindsay. Go right ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. I have the BRCA1 mutation, and I was actually treated at the Breast Health Center, and Dr. Wilkie, you treated my mom, Barbara. And I was diagnosed at age 28. with that, which I was being screened, but I did not know that I had the gene until after I was diagnosed and went through genetic counseling. Once I found out I had the gene, I was worried because my other family members did not have health insurance, and I know there's been a lot of talk about the price of the genetic testing, because I was able to get it done initially with my health insurance. They actually waived the fee for my family members, as well as sent a letter. I was able to send a letter to my mom has 13 brothers and sisters, and so I was able to send a letter to family members letting them know that our family tested positive for this gene and that they could go and get the testing as well. And so that was really powerful, I think, for me. And the second thing was just that I was glad that you had mentioned about the ovarian piece of it, because I think what I was told, at least, is that that's the most deadly and dangerous risk with this gene mutation that, is a really important piece of it as well. Mm.
So what have you determined to be your options, Lindsay?
Well, when I was diagnosed, it was stage one. I had caught it early because, like I said, I had been screening. And so it was really, recommendation without the genetic testing would have been a lumpectomy and radiation. But due to the genetic testing and me being positive with this gene mutation, I opted to have the double mastectomy, 3 months of chemotherapy, the double mastectomy and reconstruction. So I kind of did as much as possible. I have not removed my ovaries yet, but I am now meeting. I'm 2 years out from my diagnosis, and so now I'm meeting with, OBGYN specialist at the UW regarding that process.
You sound pretty accepting and even keeled about something that I'm sure was quite traumatic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my mom had it at 32, her initial time. She actually was re-diagnosed last year, or about a year and a half ago, and she had two sisters that had it in their 30s. And so I knew I was high risk. I looked just like my mom. I figured I had her DNA, and I knew I was high risk, but I didn't. And the other piece of that is at 21, I looked into genetic testing, and I was told by a doctor at that time that I would never get health insurance. They said, let's screen you carefully, let's act like you do,
right.
But if you actually get the testing, no one's going to insure you. And luckily now with the Obamacare law, in that law it states that you can't discriminate against genetic testing, and that's huge for me and my family. And I have three daughters of my own that I can kind of feel a little more secure about that with as well.
Right. Dr. Wilkie.
Yeah. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
So I think Lindsay has had a wonderful approach to this and very, what I would call calm, cool, and collected, and thoughtful, and actually a huge advocate for her family. And that's what we need family members to do, is to recognize what used to be scary to talk about cancer, and you talked about the female cancers and didn't discuss them in depth, is now vitally important, because both those ovarian and breast cancers, if they run in a family, we as medical professionals would like to help those individuals to understand whether they might be carrying one of these genes. And I think Lindsay has spoken very accurately and thoughtfully about how best to protect her family and those individuals that have tested positive for the gene. Mm.
We'll talk more about this genetic test, but isn't it interesting that how many women are there out there who may have had this gene but didn't want to get tested because they would be denied health insurance?
Yes, no, that is a very real possibility and a changing process, however. With the insurance companies and the new set of insurance laws coming forward, we shouldn't be facing that fear anymore. And it's important to recognize that if the patient is screened appropriately, it is probably a more cost-effective process than if someone were to find a large cancer because of that gene.
Thank you, Lindsay. All the best to you and your family. Caitlin in Kenosha, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was told at my last doctor's appointment, I'm 25, and I was told that I might be high risk for breast cancer because of my paternal family history. Prostate cancer is rampant in my dad's side of the family, and I was told that the same hormones that affect men for prostate cancer affect women for breast cancer. I just had some questions and elaboration on it because I'm still a little confused on it.
That's an excellent question. Currently, our guidelines do include both the paternal and maternal side of the family. It's very important that we know both sides of the family. Now, for the risk of the BRCA1 and 2 mutation, there would need to be, in addition to prostate cancer, some of the other cancers, such as breast or ovarian. But a genetic counselor has the ability to look at the whole family tree, and through a series of calculations and models that exist out there, can help us understand what's the likelihood of a BRCA1 or 2 mutation. There are other mutations that cause cancers, though not for breast cancer as frequently as the BRCA1 and 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a little sense. And I was also told to stay away from certain, make some lifestyle changes, I guess, as well, to help reduce my risk, like cutting down on hormone food that's injected with hormones, to reduce drinking to pretty much infrequently, and things of that nature. Has that stuff been... Is that stuff that has been proven, or I guess I'm not sure if that was just an opinion or a speculation.
Well, there is a lot of speculation about lifestyle issues and subsequent development of cancer. Development of cancers is dependent a lot on the patient's own genetic environment and then its exposure to the outside environment. And there may be some people that can be exposed to multiple environmental insults, so to speak, and not develop cancer. Just like the individual who smokes and doesn't develop lung cancer. However, we do know that there are some environmental insults, such as smoking, that lead to a high incidence of cancer. For breast cancer, prostate cancer, some of the more hormonally based cancers, there is not an excessive amount of information telling us how lifestyle influences these cancers. But common sense would indicate that you want to be eating healthy, fresh foods, not in excess of a lot of extra pesticides and hormones. And the idea of drinking has been shown to be associated with breast cancer. For women who drink more than 2 to 3 drinks a night consistently, they are at increased risk for breast cancer.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you.
We'll have time for maybe one or two more phone calls for Dr. Wilkie, and then we will talk with a genetic counselor. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Dr. Lee Wilkie is a breast surgeon and director of the University of Wisconsin Health Breast Center. Two more of your calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we thank Dr. Wilkie. She has to present at a conference. She's in Chicago right now, a breast surgeon. So we thank you, Dr. Wilkie, very much for being with us.
Thank you, Kenny.
Yeah, thanks. We're going to continue our conversation now. We just changed guests. Our next guest is a genetic counselor at Fradert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Jenny Gertz is joining us, and we'll continue phone calls about this genetic test, about this mutation of this gene, how expensive this test may be, how you can pay for it, who should have it, and what, you know, may happen in terms of changing genes, because we're at the forefront of that kind of medical technology that can help with all of this. Our phone number for Jenny Gertz is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page, if you would like to leave messages there, is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Jenny Gertz, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Who do you recommend receive this kind of genetic testing to determine whether or not you are at high risk? Who should get this test?
Well, that's a very good question right now, because when anything like this comes out in the media, every woman thinks, oh, goodness, should I be having
right.
this testing? And every woman is at risk for breast cancer. That's certainly true. But actually, when we look at the number of women that have hereditary breast cancer, it only makes up about 5 to 10% of all women that are diagnosed with breast cancer. So unlike the myth that's out there, most women that get breast cancer don't have a strong family history. So we really want to focus this genetic testing on those families where there's a strong history of cancer.
And what do you mean by strong history of cancer?
Yes, that's a great question. So there's recommended guidelines that are published in the medical literature and established by federal agencies like the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force. And what they say is what we really need to do is look at women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer at a younger age, usually premenopausal or less than 50. So that's one of our red flags that might suggest a hereditary link. Or if we have women who are diagnosed with postmenopausal breast cancer in the family, if there's multiple relatives on the same side of the family, so like a grandmother, an aunt, cousin, multiple relatives all with breast cancer at any age. And actually, one of the major red flags for hereditary breast cancer is ovarian cancer in the family. And that gets overlooked a lot of times.
Yeah, it does. You rarely hear that even discussed, do you?
Yeah, and, you know, it's devastating. I can't tell you how many women with a strong family history of breast cancer are out there and have been doing everything they should, getting their breast exams and getting their mammograms and maybe even breast MRI, and were not ever aware of ovarian cancer risk. And ovarian cancer is very difficult to detect, so nobody was watching out for that. They had their ovaries in place, and then, boom, out of the blue, they wind up with a diagnosis of ovarian cancer, which is often diagnosed at a late stage. The other red flag I don't want to forget to mention is women of Ashkenazi Jewish heritage are also at an increased risk for carrying one of these breast cancer gene mutations. That particular population has a higher incidence of these gene mutations.
Do we know why?
Well, it's due to something called the founder effect. So it's a little bit technical and involves population genetics, but essentially there's certain ethnicities and populations where certain genetic mutations are more common.
Are we at a point where, or close to a point, where you can change that genetic structure? You can somehow, however you people do this, you know, you use a needle or whatever and you get rid of that gene that can mutate and cause these cancers?
You know, that would be the pie in the sky.
Right.
That would be wonderful, and that's where we want to get one day. What you're referring to is something called gene therapy. So the idea that if there's a genetic mutation in the body, why don't we have a pill or some nanotechnology or something that can target and fix that gene mutation and restore the original function of the gene? So as you know, gene therapy is still in research trials. And part of the problem with these hereditary syndromes is when we're talking about the genetic mutation that's inherited from mom or from dad, that genetic mutation is present from conception and present in every single cell in the body. So if we're saying that the breast tissue is at risk for developing cancer, every single cell in that breast tissue has that genetic mutation. So to be able to deliver some sort of therapy that hits each and every last cell in the breast tissue is very challenging, and that's why I think it's still in the hands of the very talented and knowledgeable scientists to figure that one out.
Angelina Jolie talked about her mother dying at the age of 56, considering the fact that she had this BRCA1 faulty gene, and her mother died so young, and she had her double mastectomy at the age of 37. This cancer would appear, or is it just unique to her family to hit pretty hard pretty young?
Well, I think that's probably a reflection of the fact of the BRCA1 gene. So there's two strong genes that we know of that can cause breast cancer, BRCA1 and BRCA2. And BRCA1 tends to be what we call the more penetrant or the more aggressive of the two, where we're seeing the younger onset cancers. So for families that are out there with a BRCA2 gene, they're still at risk, and we still need to practice high-risk screening and prevention options, but we aren't quite seeing the cancers at such a young age like we are with the BRCA1.
I see. Let's go to phone calls. We have many of them for you. A genetic counselor at Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin, Jenny Gertz, is our guest now. And let us go to Emily in Black River. Hi, Emily. Thanks for waiting.
Hi.
Hi.
I had stage 3 ovarian cancer when I was 28.
Ooh.
And, well, that was almost 30 years ago now.
Oh.
But I'm just wondering if I am at higher risk for breast cancer at this point. I also had a first cousin on my father's side that died of ovarian cancer, so which I didn't know until many years later. So I guess I'm wondering what the risks are. At one time when I lived in Madison, it was recommended that I have the genetic testing, but the insurance wouldn't pay for it, so I never did have it.
Oh, Emily, you bring up some really great points that I'd like to kind of parse out and address individually. So the first one, and this is really going to be my take-home message today, is know your family history. And so often what happens is, you know, people are diagnosed with cancer, questions aren't asked. Sometimes there's a generational gap where, you know, if something happened to grandma, she went in the hospital and then she passed away and nobody asked why or nobody asked what. So knowing your family history is so important to understand your risk for hereditary cancer. And the three questions that we usually have people focus on when they're gathering their family history is, first, who in the family has had cancer? What blood relatives have had cancer? And then the type of cancer that they've had, you know, specifically where it started. A lot of times people report, oh, you know, grandma died of lung cancer. But if it was actually breast cancer that spread to the lung, she had breast cancer. And we want to know that she had breast cancer, not lung cancer. And then the third thing is the approximate age at diagnosis. Because like I said earlier, when there's a younger age of onset, it suggests a possible genetic link. So knowing your family history is really relevant. The second thing, Emily, obviously the root of your question is, are you at a higher risk? We say that any woman who's been diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and there's a specific category of ovarian cancer called an epithelial type, which you can ask your doctor if you had the epithelial type. Any woman who had an epithelial type of ovarian cancer, we recommend should meet with a genetic counselor to review that family history and address whether genetic testing is appropriate. And then the last point you raised with the insurance. So women who have been diagnosed with cancer years ago may have tried to do genetic testing, but it wasn't covered. Nowadays, we find that nearly all insurance companies will cover this test when it's medically indicated. You know, and that's key because they're not going to be covering it in any woman who kind of walks off the street and saying, well, I saw Angelina had it and I want this test, but I don't have a family history or a personal history. Insurance company is not going to be likely to cover that. But when there's a reasonable indication in the family and when it's medically indicated, we do get really good insurance coverage for this testing. Mm.
And will a lot of people do what you just said, walk in and say, I want to be tested now because Angelina Jolie was tested?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our phones have been ringing off the hook.
Oh, have they? Oh, interesting.
I wish Angelina Jolie would have given me a warning that she was going to do this because I would have cleared my schedule this week.
So what do you say to all these people?
Well, I say talk to your doctors, really. Collect family history, talk to your doctors, and see a specialist. See someone that specializes in genetics, like a genetic counselor, to really go through this and address whether it's appropriate or not. Because, I'm so very happy that Angelina came out to tell her story because it will inspire a lot of women. But with that will also come a wave of women who are just trying to understand their risk and probably are not truly at a high risk for breast cancer.
I have one more question.
Sure.
Would that indicate possibly, I'm not sure the pronunciation, the Jewish connection then, since I also had a first cousin that had it?
So folks that are of Jewish heritage should mention that, and then there's some specific testing that we can do to address whether there's Jewish heritage. So it's just something that we note in the family history.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Emily. Let's go next to Chris in Mequon. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
Very interesting topic. My aunt died of ovarian cancer. My mother, she got caught in stage one, and the reason she got caught so early was because her and I and my sister were all going to this study group that St. Mary's had at the time, which was quite a while, about 20 years ago, and you had to get a pelvic ultrasound every 6 months. And through that, she got caught in stage one. And my question is now, I'm at very high risk, and I do get a pelvic ultrasound once a year. And is that adequate?
Oh, Chris, I'm so glad you brought up this topic of ovarian cancer screening. So it sounds like based on your family history, you would definitely qualify for a genetics consult and possibly even genetic testing. Angelina Jolie also recently announced that she'll be having her ovaries removed. And this is a really important step for ovarian cancer prevention. I mentioned earlier, ovarian cancer is very difficult to detect, and Chris, it sounds like your mother was very lucky that this was caught early. There are two screening tests out there for ovarian cancer that have a bit of contention around them. The pelvic ultrasound or transvaginal ultrasound and a CA125 tumor marker, which is a blood test. For women who have ovarian cancer, we know that blood test can be useful to determine if their cancer is coming back or if they're responding to chemotherapy. But how that blood test and ultrasound are utilized in the early detection of ovarian cancer is still not really well understood. There haven't been good studies proving that we can find ovarian cancer early with those tests. I think your mom, Chris, probably represents a fairly rare circumstance. So for ultimate prevention and survival from this, we recommend that once women are nearing menopause or done having kids, they have a conversation with their doctor about having their ovaries removed if they're BRCA positive, okay? Because prevention ultimately comes in the form of having those organs removed altogether.
Okay, and I guess my last question then would be is for people like me who don't have insurance, I just can't afford it. What does a person what do you do? I mean, I don't know if there are any study groups where that you would be allowed to get gene tested or not. I can't, you know, a lot of people can't afford to pay the $3,000 that it costs to get a gene test.
Yeah, and I think that with the changes in the Affordable Care Act, and I don't want to go into this in too much detail because we could spend a whole day talking about this, but you know, individuals are going to be required to carry health insurance, and health insurance is very, very important. So what the implementations that are going on that are being phased in, and particularly in 2014, is that individuals will be able to purchase affordable health care so that they can have coverage. This act has also written some specific guidelines around coverage of genetic testing, which is going to be considered preventative care. So genetic counseling and genetic testing fall under that preventative care provision, where it's not they're not going to be held to having to pay out of pocket for these tests if you buy into these health insurance companies. So, like I said, I don't want to talk too much about that, but please know health insurance is important to have no matter what your family history is. And doing the genetic test without health insurance is really not recommended, because then if your genetic test comes back positive,
right,
and we're recommending surgery, surgery is extremely expensive, and people are not going to be able to afford that out of pocket.
Mm-hmm. So. Thanks very much for the call, Chris. A couple emails have come in. Nancy in Green Bay wants to know if just the breast and ovaries are at risk with this gene.
Oh, right. Great question. So for the BRCA1 gene, we know there's the highest risk for breast and ovarian cancer. And with the BRCA2 gene, the same is true, but we're also uncovering that some families are at a higher risk for pancreatic cancer and melanoma. So those are two other cancers that we look for. And then in general, these genes can confer an increased risk for prostate cancer on men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see prostate cancer is really common in men, so, you know, that's not necessarily a red flag that something hereditary is going on in the family, but it does increase the risk for prostate cancer in men as well.
And Michelle from Evansville wants to know, if women are adopted and don't know the family history, should they get tested?
That is a great question. So we really struggle with what to do with families when there's an individual who's adopted and we can't go back and get the maternal or paternal family history. So they don't know their mom and they don't know their dad. We've had some luck in people that have been able to petition for medical records, depending, you know, if they had a closed adoption or not. But for people that are adopted right now, it's very difficult to get insurance coverage unless they've already been diagnosed with a cancer. If they've already been diagnosed with a cancer, then sometimes we can get the insurance coverage, but that's something I acknowledge is still a struggle, and we're trying to figure out how do we do that.
More phone calls momentarily, because Angelina Jolie gave this issue a great deal of prominence with her op-ed piece Tuesday in the New York Times. saying that she had had a double mastectomy because she carried a faulty gene, BRCA1, which sharply increased her risk of developing breast cancer and ovarian cancer. Her mother, she writes, fought cancer for almost a decade and died at the age of 56. So she decided to do this preventive surgery, and we're talking about the genetic test, what the options are for women, and doing all of that discussion with Jenny Gertz, genetic counselor at Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Our phone number, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and you can leave messages on the Facebook page, too, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program this Thursday, the author of Simpler, The Future of Government, Cass Sustein, will be with us, and he is now a professor of law at Harvard University. He served for several years as the administrator of the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, and he's written a fascinating book about what would appear to be a job that's not terribly interesting, and actually it's absolutely fascinating. So he will be with us the second hour of our show. This hour, we're talking about breast cancer. We're talking about the faulty gene carried by Angelina Jolie and how it has everybody discussing this and determining whether or not you have that faulty gene, what the options are, the insurance coverage for it, etc. Our guest is Jenny Gertz, genetic counselor at Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Maria in Milwaukee is our next caller. Hi, Maria.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Hi, I wanted to call and tell about my family history. I just called my mom before the top of the hour, and actually my great-grandmother and my grandmother both died of breast cancer. And when my grandmother died in 85, the doctor actually suggested to her five daughters that they all get double mastectomies because he was pretty sure that she would have the breast cancer gene. And sure enough, three of my aunts have breast cancer. One got it a second time, and then she had her ovaries removed. So they've all five of my my mom and my aunt had been tested. My mom doesn't have the gene, but the three that had breast cancer do. And actually, my cousin of one of the aunts who had breast cancer, she has the gene, and they all tested positive for the BRCA2 gene. So when my mom got tested, insurance covered most of it. She paid a couple of $100s, and she turned out negative. But she said she would have paid, you know, anything just so she knew because, you know, her mom died at an early age. You know, her grandmother died. It was just such a scary thing in our family, and we really know the consequences of when you have the gene.
Right.
And what'll happen.
And well, how have you dealt with this, Maria, for yourself?
I'm only 26. And so just recently, my aunt, she was 49, and she just got it this past year. And, so this is the third aunt in, this family to get breast cancer. She's got, three young kids. One's in high school. The other two are in middle school and grade school. You know, it's been really hard on them. And then maybe 2 years ago, my aunt, she's got her two kids that are my age, around their 20s, and she had breast cancer a second time. And after that, she said, well, I want to see my kids get married. So she got her ovaries removed.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, both of her kids are getting married because, they're not sure how long their parents will be around.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's really affected
right.
my mom and my my aunts. Obviously, I'm a little more removed, but, now my younger cousin is tested for the gene. And, she's really in denial about it. But she's, in her early 20s, and she's not in a long-term relationship. So it's like, well, when do you decide to get your organs removed?
Mm-hmm. Jenny?
Well, yeah, and I think that your family story is one that's really important, and this is where I hope with Angelina's story that the media can kind of refocus on what this is really about. It's about families, and it's about personalized decisions. And nowadays, there's such a buzzword in healthcare, this personalized medicine. It's really easy to say, but what does it mean to put it into practice? So here at Frederick Medical College, what we're doing is taking a look at that and saying, well, personalized medicine is not just about saying it. It's about doing it. It's about understanding what are your risk factors for a disease, in this case, cancer, and about counseling around making these very personal decisions that are based on your own philosophies, your own priorities in life, your family, your lifestyle, with a goal of taking control of your health, making an informed decision, and practicing disease prevention and early detection. Because in the end, it's your body, and you're the one that has to be able to sleep at night.
Yes.
So I think with reaction to Angelina's story, you know, I've seen some people in the blog saying, oh, how could she do that? That's radical. Nobody has the right to make that kind of comment because this was her life and her decision. And I guarantee you, any woman going through this is thinking very carefully about all aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. Would that have been rare? It was interesting to me. Maria said that the doctor recommended double mastectomies for her family members way back in 85.
You had a really proactive doctor back then. In 85, that was before the genetic testing had become available. So we weren't able to identify who truly has the gene and who doesn't. We knew there was something going on, but we couldn't tell women who was at higher risk and who wasn't. So they kind of did this blanket, if it's in the family, everybody be proactive. And that was a pretty radical thing to do back then, but it probably saved a lot of women's lives.
Thank you, Maria, so much for the call. Angela is next in Milwaukee. Hi, Angela.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi, go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. I have a question about men and breast cancer. My husband's family has a history. His father had breast cancer, and his sister passed away from breast cancer. Mm. Do they get the genetic testing as well, the same genetic testing?
Thank you for highlighting this, and this is something that often gets underlooked, is the male population with breast cancer. Male breast cancer is rare, but when it does happen, we automatically want to evaluate for a genetic risk. Because male breast cancer is so rare with the BRCA genes, we know that there is an increased risk for male breast cancer. It's about maybe 6 or 7% lifetime risk for breast cancer. So if you remember, Angelina Jolie was quoted as having an 87% chance for breast cancer as a female, but males have about a 6 to 7% risk for breast cancer with this gene. And it often doesn't get addressed in the family history. So anyone that has a family history of male breast cancer, that's a big red flag for a hereditary risk. So absolutely, it sounds like you should probably have a genetics consult for that family.
Okay. Angela, thanks. Laura in Madison, hi.
Hi. One of the things I think that hasn't been addressed in the program so far is the strong emotions that just are so pervasive in families where there is a history of breast cancer. In my family, my mom died at age 49 of breast cancer. Her sister, my only aunt, died in her 50s. Their mother had breast cancer the first time at age 30 back in 1945, and then eventually had another recurrence in her 50s. My siblings and I watched our mom die of cancer. We watched our aunt die of cancer. And so my three sisters and myself have always felt like walking time bombs. And the fear every year of the mammogram. Okay, we started getting mammograms in our 20s. I'm 51 now. But the fear and the strong emotion that came up every year in this cycle of having mammograms. And as I got older and started reaching the age at which my mother died, it became even more intense. And so I finally decided that as the oldest sister, I was going to lead the charge. And I decided to have genetic counseling. And that really helped me sift through all the information and put aside some of the emotional stuff. Because up till then, I was being only ruled by my emotions, right? I didn't have the information. so the genetic counseling really helped me with that. I found out about a year and a half ago that I carry a BRCA1 mutation. I was not surprised. I knew that there was something wrong. It gave me some closure in grieving the death of my mom and my aunt, knowing that this explains why they lost their lives so young. So I really want to encourage women who have kind of a really bad feeling about things going on in their family, whether it's breast cancer, ovarian cancer, a mixture of both in their family. Don't let the fear rule you. Get some information. I believe that information is power, and then you can make decisions.
Thank you very much, Laura. It's an important call. Jenny.
Wow, Laura, thank you so much for sharing that story. And it's stories like that that make me proud to be a genetic counselor, because you're absolutely right. Women with these kinds of family histories have been crippled by fear.
Sure.
And they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. All they know is they can't sleep at night. And when that time comes for the mammogram, oh, I hear them tell me how it's just a roller coaster. And they're wondering, is this going to be the year? Is this the year that where they find it? Is this going to be my last year of life? And it doesn't have to be that way, because I, too, also believe that information is power. And we can't change our family history. That's the hand we were dealt. We can't change our genetics, not yet, at least. We don't have the gene therapy yet. But we can change what we do about it. And if we can empower ourselves to say, yes, I'm high risk. I'm going to learn about my risk, and I'm going to see what I can do about it. And whether it's additional screenings like breast MRI, and here at Fredericton Medical College, we have a high-risk program that specifically counsels women around their options for breast cancer screening. There's also medications that are out there that can reduce the risk of cancer. Or in some cases, like Angelina Jolie, people decide for surgery, and we support them every step in the way in that. But the fact that they're acting on it and doing something, that's what makes them kind of regain that power in their lives.
Mm. What kind of medicine do you have?
Medicine? Well, there's something called chemo prevention. So there's a drug called tamoxifen that has been used to treat breast cancer, but it's also been shown to help prevent breast cancer.
Here's another email. Carolyn, diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer at the age of 43, had a double mastectomy, tested negative for the gene, but her paternal grandmother died of ovarian cancer at the age of 80. No other cancer in the family. Should she have her ovaries removed?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a tough question. And what that question highlights is we don't have a perfect genetic test. We hear about the BRCA1 and the BRCA2 genes, but I always tell my patients there's BRCA question mark, and that's where the gene discovery research that's going on, whole genome sequencing is a big buzzword, those types of things. You know, there's 20,000 genes, scientists think, in our body. There's definitely more than 2 that cause breast cancer. We just need to be able to identify those genes, determine what those genes do, and then have additional genetic testing that we can offer families like hers, where there still may be something going on there. So when we do genetic testing for BRCA1 and 2, if we get a normal result, we still look at the family history and say, okay, but what's the family history telling us? Because if someone still has a concerning family history, we can't put all of our faith in a genetic test. We have to believe that there may be other genetic risk factors that our test simply can't detect.
Let's go to Nancy in Madison. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. My mother had breast cancer, and my husband's mother died at 33 with breast cancer.
Oh, my.
Now my niece on that side of the family was just diagnosed in her early 40s with ductal breast cancer and is having a double mastectomy. I have 2 daughters. Mm-hmm. So should they be tested?
Oh, good question. And what your question addresses is something in genetic counseling we'd like to call the testing strategy. So when looking at a family history like that, the genetic testing is a bit sophisticated. So we want to focus on who's the best person to have the test first. the first person in the family that we usually like to test is someone who's had breast or ovarian cancer, if they're available. If these relatives are already deceased, then we don't have the DNA to test. But if your niece is still living and actively undergoing treatment for her breast cancer, she might be a good candidate for genetic testing. And then by testing her first, we can determine if there's a genetic cause in the family. And then if her test shows something, a positive result, a mutation, then we can offer some very specific, accurate testing for your daughters.
Thanks, Nancy, so much for the call. Thank you, Jenny, for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you for highlighting this important topic.
Yeah, our pleasure. Jenny Gertz, genetic counselor at Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin. We also thank Dr. Lee Wilkie, breast surgeon and director of the University of Wisconsin Health Breast Center. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this program, and thanks to KP Whaley, who's our new producer, joining Rhonda and putting this show together, who's doing on-air production, still learning the ropes here, but he got it this hour. And thanks to Rhonda for helping as well.